I am a sheep and you are sheep, and it's our job to do the work of the kingdom. Can I have an amen? Yes, hallelujah. Well, to broach the subject of sanctification in a short period of time is a challenge, because you have to distill down all the theological discussions about what sanctification is. So what I've tried to do is simplified it. I've picked out a handful of verses to kind of look at. So I hope today that you'll be refreshed in your understanding of it. If you happen to disagree with something that I say, you let me know. I'm going to share with you one of the biggest disagreements about sanctification amongst denominations, no matter what label they are. And so let's look at our main text to start with, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And you should know these four things by heart. Jesus Christ has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. WRSR, if you're an acrostic person, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Hallelujah. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who has been made unto us. I'm thankful I don't have to work for this. We don't have to work for these things, because Jesus has been made these things to us, for us, and in us. Amen? He's been made the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. You know, repetition is the key to memory. So if I say this 100 times, maybe you'll get it. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at the kind of a simplistic definition of sanctification. If you think of the word sanctify, sanctification, sanctified, those are just adverbs, adjectives of the noun sanctification. By definition in Greek terminology, it really means to be made holy. And it is akin to the same word where you see the word holy. In the scriptures where it says, be ye holy as I am holy, those are the same words, hagiomos. I can't say it correctly, but that's what it looks like to me. It also means to be cleansed, to be purified, to be set apart. Parallel words, like I said, holy. The word saint, when Paul says to the saints at the church of Ephesus, who's he talking to there? He's talking to the saints. I am no longer a sinner. I might sin, but I'm no longer a sinner, because a sinner is lost. I'm a saint by the calling of God, called to be saints. It says we are called to be saints, and I'm thankful for that. Same word in sanctification. Consecration. In the Old Testament, lots of times there were different things that were consecrated unto the Lord, right? The temple items, people right before Israel is going to recross the Jordan River with Joshua. He said, consecrate or sanctify yourselves. Amen? Now, the word consecration is an interesting word, and I came from a Catholic background, and they did this. There are some things about that church and that denomination that are very scriptural. There are some things about it that are very unscriptural. Amen? If any of you have that background. But the word consecrated means to be dedicated and devoted to the service and worship of God. That's what consecrated means. Now, I think I should be consecrated. I think we, the church, the saints, should be consecrated, dedicated, and devoted to the service and worship of God. Come on, this is not rocket science here. And that whom you worship, you will serve. And that whom you serve, you will worship. Now, I want to be careful here, because I am not anti-sports and I'm not anti-Nebraska. But if you worship the Cornhuskers, you will serve them. I don't have a billfold, but your pocketbook would show it. I'm not against giving. I'm not against sports. I'm not against football. I'm just saying, don't make it your God. But that whom you worship, you will serve. And that whom you serve, you will worship. So we want to put in our hearts to be consecrated, so that as we serve God in whatever capacity we are, and you can serve God day in and day out, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, you can serve God from the second you get up till the second you get up the next day and wherever you're going. You can serve God when you stop for gasoline in Casey's. You can serve God in your marketplace ministry. I don't call it work. I call it marketplace ministry. Come on. It's ministry in the marketplace. Where you go is your mission field. Let me say, thank you, God. Where your feet are is the mission field. Yeah. Come on, we need to understand that we're all missionaries. We are on a mission to share the gospel. Because people are lost and dying and going to hell. They're going to burn in hell without hearing the gospel. So where our feet are is our mission. That should be our passion. So going back to sanctification, being made holy, cleansed, purified, set apart, I think that in the theological discussion about sanctification, and I read about it in a number of different denominations from Methodist to which would be John Wesley, to Martin Luther, to evangelicals today, whether it be Baptist, evangelical free, et cetera, et cetera, Pentecostalism, the whole nine yards. And there seems to be a little bit of a difference in sanctification being a one-time deal. Boom, you get saved and you're sanctified. Or it's a process, and there's arguments both ways. So I just want to share some of my thoughts, and you can take it or leave it. You can tell me if you agree or disagree. That's great. But I just want to bring some things up about it because I think it's both. I think that when you get saved, you have a position in heaven. When you get saved, you're saved through and through. There's a mansion that's being prepared for us, and we are saved through and through. You become the called. It says, many are called, few are chosen. When you answer the call, you become the chosen. Amen? Come on. So, when you answer that call of salvation, you become the sanctified. You become the saint. You become the holiness of God, positionally. And we'll look at a verse to kind of support some of this. But there's also a process of sanctification. If there wasn't a process of sanctification, Joshua would have never told the people the night before they were going to cross the Jordan River, go sanctify yourselves. Get right with God. How many of you have had some problems in the past day, week, or month? As Dan so aptly put, I'm really not a sinner no more, but I do sin, and I don't like it. If you like sin, you got a problem. If you like it, you got a problem. So, but the neat thing is we have an advocate with the Father. And you used a big word. Propitiation is an awesome word because it means mercy seat. The mercy seat that sits on the tabernacle is the propitiation, the blood that saves our souls. Hallelujah. But sanctification is a process and a position that we have in God. So let's look at this, okay? Let's look at, first of all, as you'll see on the outline, I have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit because I love it when I can see the Trinity incorporated into the Scriptures. That's why I labeled it this way. Let's look at God the Father, what He says about sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, we're going to look at the context of this because I think it's really important to understand the context of verse 23, which is the key verse in this section. So, we are familiar with this. Get happy and rejoice evermore, or only rejoice when things are going well, right? Just rejoice when things are good. Come on, somebody groan at me. Thank you. Pray sometimes. No, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not that everything that happens to you is God's will, but everything that does happen to you, you need to give thanks for God. Quench not the spirit, do not despise prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Whew. That's why I like to hold on to Mary. She's good. Okay, side. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, this is key. This is right before the key verse. Abstain from the appearance of evil. I was really challenged on this one time. I was counseling a second married couple, and I didn't think that the second marriage was going to work. And in fact, it didn't. But they thought they could live together and sleep in the same bed and be okay unmarried. And I said, uh-uh. That says abstain from the form of evil because fornication and et cetera, is defilement to the marriage bed. And I said, no, that doesn't work because that's an appearance of evil. Not only is it evil, it's the appearance of evil. Okay. Now, as we look at that, it says abstain from the appearance of evil. Look at the next verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. See, God wants to sanctify us. God wants to, if you may, set us apart. If a vessel in the house of David was going to be a holy vessel. It was taken away from the world and set into the house of God to be a holy vessel. Because there are holy vessels and there are earthen vessels. And so God wants to sanctify us and set us apart. Not be of the world, be in the world, but not of the world. No longer of the world. And this is really cool here where it talks about sanctify you how much? Holy. What did the woman who had had the issue of blood for 14 years, somebody correct me on the number of years, what did she say when she says, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Thank you. Well, saved, yes, but made whole. God is about making us whole. He wants all of us whole, healthy, healed, sanctified. And we're going to see this. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body, if I can add to that, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, is there anything impure about your spirit when you get saved? Your spirit is what? Born again. You've been given a new spirit, right? And there's nothing impure about it. And I don't think that changes. I think that's the sanctified state that always is. The spirit doesn't change. But it says that your soul and your body, okay? Now, I don't know about you. I have proof right here that I am not living a sanctified body. I have less hair than I did 40 years ago. Got a few lumps and bumps and a few things going on that are not the same that they were 40 years ago. Come on. But I'm telling you, when I hear the trump, that sanctified body shows up. Right? It says we're going to be given a new body. Woo-hoo! I like that idea. But what about the soul? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. It says that our mind would be renewed day by day by day. Now, if something is positionally correct, it would need to be renewed. It says your mind needs to be renewed. I think that's the process of sanctification. Like Dan said, I don't think the same things I did 35 years ago, 37 years ago. Don't you? Don't you think way differently than you used to? From the time you got saved, I thought completely differently. Come on. But we need to continue to renew our minds, and we'll see how and why. So that's why I think that being sanctified is both. Our spirit becomes fully sanctified when we're born again, but our mind and our bodies are in the process. Amen? Okay, so just take that for what that's worth. You know, I love that too. It was even, let's see, there was another example. Oh yeah, when the withered man, no, the withered man, the man with the withered hand, Jesus says, what do you wish? He says, I want to be made whole. I want to be whole before God. I want to be whole. I don't want to be part. I don't want to be half in and half out. We shouldn't be people like that. People in the kingdom should not be half in and half out. We should be all in, right? Hallelujah. You know, and we come into the kingdom of God as we are. It says, come as you are. How many times do you hear that from Billy Graham? Come as you are. Just come as you are. Well, how do we come into the kingdom? We come into the kingdom with broken hearts. We come into the kingdom with wounded minds. We come into the kingdom with tormented minds and hearts. Because the devil, we've been under our father, the devil. And so sometimes those processes of sanctification come off in layers. And we see that as we pray for people over a period of time. Okay, now that's God the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And also I like verse 24. Thank you for hanging on to that, Larry. Because it says, faithful is he that calls you. Woo-hoo! He's faithful to sanctify us. He does the work. How much work can you do to sanctify yourself? Come on. It's all about him and what his power is. All right, now let's look at God the Son. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. I'm at to scoot along here. This is God the Son. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Great, great setup for a communion table today, isn't it? The sanctifying power of the blood of Christ not only saves us, but continues to redeem us and renew us. Amen? sanctify the people with his own blood suffered outside the gate. I won't go into why that says that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 also says about the Son, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body once and for all. So we have the body and the blood and the communion table that sanctifies us. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I love this. The elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. See, so you see here we have scriptures that show us that all three Godheads are in the process of sanctifying us. Isn't that awesome? I absolutely love that. Unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. There is grace in the sanctification. There is peace in the sanctification. We can have peace with God. All right, now let's look at another thing about sanctification. And in John 17, this is what we call the high priestly prayer of the entire chapter, John chapter 17. We looked at this a few weeks ago on Saturday night prayer one time. But we're going to look at three verses here, 17, 18, and 19. Sanctify them. Them is, who's them? Yeah, the church. Sanctify the church. Jesus is saying, you're my bride. I'd like you to be the coolest. And the way you're going to do that is to get sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. We're not supposed to sit in the four walls of our church with what we have. We need to take it to the streets, the marketplace, the family meetings, et cetera, et cetera. Verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. What's the best thing to correct you? Truth. Because if you need to be corrected, what are you believing? A lie or something false? Thank you. I love teachers when there's teachers in the audience, because in the congregation. Yeah. See, so if we need to be sanctified by truth, that means that we need to have some things re-corrected. Not re-corrected, but corrected. All right, let's go on. Prayer is another way sanctification comes. I love prayer on Saturday nights. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. You know, I had to use this verse the other day. I had a person in my marketplace ministry look at me and says, so do you eat pork? And I thought, oh my gosh, we got to revisit some of this stuff about what God sanctifies is okay. And the vision that Peter had in the book of Acts. But anyway, I had to use this verse. Anyway, verse 4, everything that was created by God's good, and nothing to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. Okay, thanksgiving. So it's good to give thanks at a meal, not just say grace. Verse 5, for it is sanctified how? By the word. By the word. By the word and prayer. That's where Job 22:28 comes into play, which you guys know, you and us, we live in Job 22:28. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall come to pass, and thereby light will shine upon your path. Thou will decree a thing. What do you decree? The word thing there in the Hebrew is the word. Thou shalt decree the word. I prophesy over our family, the church, our community, every day. Mary and I do that. Every day, we prophesy the word through prayer. So it's really great that sanctification comes on the basis of prophesying the word of God and prayer. And it also corrects us. And last but not least, when I was first saved and filled with the Spirit of God, I hear and still hear, and I think it's very accurate, to ask people, if they've never gotten saved, to receive Jesus Christ as what? Savior and Lord. Well, there's so many words, so many verses about Savior, but there's more verses about Lordship. The word Lord is used 400 some times in the New Testament. The word Savior is used maybe 30 some times. That doesn't negate the meaning of Savior, how powerful it is. But I asked God early on, I said, God, I want a verse that supports that statement. He immediately took me to 1 Peter 3:15, and that is where we're going to leave the discussion on sanctification. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That is not a one-time shot. That is always and ever will be. You who are married, does it take work to stay in love? I thought for sure I'd hear astounding amens. Yeah, it takes work. Come on. We are people. We are real people. Does it take work to love your family members? Yes. Does it take work to love your enemies? Yes. It's a process. It's a day-to-day thing. Come on. This is life. This is real life. Yeah. It's easy to love people that love you. It's easy to talk to people that are easy to talk to. But what about the sandpaper people? Come on. They always are rubbing you wrong. And they're there to rub the bumps off of you and me. I love this, though. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready. Being instant to make a defense to everyone who asks of you and give an account for the hope that's in you with gentleness and reverence. We don't take 40-pound Schofield Bibles and hit people over the head. You need to get saved. No, it's the kindness and goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Amen? Hallelujah. So I love this verse. I think it's a great place to end the discussion about sanctification. Jesus Christ has been made sanctification unto us. And as we sanctify Christ or set him apart as Lord, it's not difficult. Lord, today, Jesus, today, I want to make you greater Lord in my life than yesterday. Gee, that took all of 5 to 7 seconds. It's not difficult. Do it with our hearts fully. Hallelujah. If you'd like to stand, please. Hallelujah. That's awesome. God, we thank you for your blood. Jesus, we just so much, so thankful for your body and your blood that saves us, that renews us, that sanctifies us, that sets us apart. And Father, just pray that we'd have a deeper and a greater revelation of some of these things, Lord, that we don't want to forget. You put that in your scripture so that we would know that Jesus Christ has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And God, we're thankful for it. So it's with great thanksgiving in our heart we say, bless you, God. We love you and we serve you. And God, we go forth into the world to share to the lost and dying world who Jesus really is. And for that, we're thankful. Bless each one here today, Lord. Bless those who have traveled from afar and those who are close, Lord. Bless them. Fill them with more of you, God. And Lord, we look forward to worshiping again soon in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, everybody shout it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a clap, will you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.